Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. It's Friday the 26th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hey, it's Friday, yeah. Da 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 da. Join in.
Oh, sorry, I don't know the song. What is the song?
Are you making up the song on the spot? Yeah, I don't know how to join in with it.
I think I am. I
don't have those sort of improv skills.
No, but you'll learn them, my friend.
Okay.
You will learn
them.
Can
I just say, Marcus, if Jim hasn't learned them by now, with working with you, he might not learn them. Maybe he doesn't want to learn them.
It's the hope that drives me on.
Fair enough.
And will eventually kill me.
It's the hope that's driven Liverpool these years.
Yes, of course. Well, I mean, gentlemen, I think we should go straight to last night's action. Big 3 points for Chelsea.
Yes, they'll be delighted with that. Yeah, absolutely delighted,
They've done it again, Chelsea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Handing another side the title, as they did with Leicester.
Should Chelsea get a little bit of the trophy?
Should it be called the Stamford Bridge Syndrome? That's what I want to know. My goodness, Liverpool!
Yes, congratulations
to
them.
You know what? Massive congratulations, of course. It was not strange. That's not the right word. It just because we've known for a long, long time, because Liverpool have been so flipping good this season.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the greatest seasons ever in any top flight league.
Yeah.
One would chuck out there of all time, for crying out loud. Let's not just keep it to the Premier League history here. Mm. It's been absolutely phenomenal, of course. And because we've known for a long, long, long time that they were going to be champions, the only question was whether the season was going to be null and void. Of course, it wasn't, and they've got over the line. To see them actually do it and to see the reaction from the Liverpool fans, you go, oh yeah, they yeah. hadn't won it, if you see what I mean.
Of course,
and of course,
yeah.
winning it means so much to them. 30 years of hurt never stopped them dreaming.
Mm. Absolutely. And you would think as well, like, there's been a lot of talk of damp squibs and various things because of the shutdown and because of the fact that they you know, it was won for them elsewhere, basically, by another yeah. result. But I don't know, you see those Liverpool fans celebrating. They could not care less.
Yeah,
they've waited for so long. And had to be so patient and put up with so much as well, mm-hmm. In terms of the sort of banter
yeah.
Coming from not just fans but also the media. Mm-hmm. They're just loving it, and fair play to them. I imagine there's going to be some sore heads at the moment, and a lot of people that have not even been to bed just loving it. And it's what a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Socially distant celebrations?
I expect so.
Yeah.
I expect so on paper. The Germans have a word for teams being crowned champions without playing. Sofa Meisters.
Is that right?
Yes.
Apparently
yeah.
so.
Lovely.
Yeah. Apparently so, which is what they were last night. But incredible achievement.
Yeah.
An incredible achievement for... I mean, because when we do a show like we do, which is like irreverent, and we try and take the piss a little bit, and you do find yourself throughout a season like this before the shutdown, you know, having a bit of a tease at Liverpool, going, oh, you know, I wonder if they'll do it. Mm. It'll be unbearable if they do and stuff. But actually, when the dust is settled and it's all said and done, you have to say, amazing team, incredible to watch, like relentlessly good. Their mentality is obviously outstanding. It's an incredible achievement, Marcus, I'm sure you agree with me on this, incredible achievement to overcome a team as good as Man City mm-hmm. in the first place. Let's not forget how good Man City are. I mean, last season and, you know, the season before, Man City, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Liverpool have really knocked them into a cocked hat. They're genuinely one of the best Premier League teams I've ever seen. They've got 15 points to go from their last seven games to get 101 to beat City's 100-point record. Don't know whether they will do that or not. I've got different feelings on whether, because it's such a release of emotion for mm-hmm. Liverpool after such a long time, whether they'll be able to maintain that intensity. But on the mm-hmm. other hand, if any team can, they can, because their mentality's been amazing.
Man City stand in their way, of course.
They do,
In a fixture that's just around the corner.
I think that I feel like Liverpool might treat the end of the season as almost like a sort of carnival. You know what I mean? Like a like a victory lap.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy
it. No, but I mean in a footballing sense.
That's what I mean.
They'll keep winning. I think, you know, they've got
every chance of
hitting 101 points. The game against Man City will be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Will they give them a guard of honour, do you think? They probably
will. They have to, surely. Yeah. Surely they've got to.
I think they should.
I do as well.
I'm sure they will do. Like, Guardiola's good like that, isn't he? I doubt he'll be petty. But, it's one of those classic teams, really, isn't it? Where they are an all-time great, as you've alluded to, Marcus, but where you look through that squad and every player is like, yeah, I'd love to have them in my team.
Mm-hmm. Where do they rank for you in terms of in the Premier League seasons and in terms of champions? How highly do you rate them?
Well, you can look at this many different angles, of course, because some people will say, well, hang on, but they didn't do, say, a domestic treble that Manchester City did, blah, 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 blah. In terms of just the league, so you take away all the other trophies. I understand people would want to bring that in, so I get that. You know, Manchester United in 99 doing a treble and so on.
Well, I'm not asking them.
No.
So fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Balls to them. but in terms of just league form, I think this could be the most impressive Premier League season we've ever seen. Genuinely, I really do. I know Arsenal fans might obviously say the Invincibles and so on, but I would say it's more impressive, many more wins and so on. I mean, the thing is, we can enjoy all these achievements,
of course.
You know. And I know I don't want to be too, throw it back in your face, because I understand the question, Luke, totally. But I honestly, like I said at the start, you know, this is one of the great seasons, I think, of all time.
I tell you what, Marcus, I wish Twitter knew that you could have predicted them. Because every time something amazing happens, it's like, well, it's no treble win. It's no Invincibles. It's no, oh, this team would get relegated in a season where this team is playing. Oh, shut up.
How can you take away anything from this Liverpool side? I mean...
Yeah. Oh, people will try, I'm sure.
Of course they will, but it's just utter nonsense. And I think, you know, tell that to the people who were setting off flares outside Anfield last night. You know,
I think that if you go back over, just off the top of my head, I would say the handful of best individual Premier League seasons mm-hmm. are this one, Man City's 100 points, obviously, are the Arsenal Invincibles.
You'd
obviously
have to put Leicester there if you think.
Oh, absolutely.
Pound
in terms of the kind of narrative.
Mm.
But I don't know if I would have that in the same bracket.
All right, okay, I see what you mean.
My fourth one was actually going to be the most underrated Premier League champions, which is Chelsea's 2005.
Yeah.
And the reason that's underrated is because it came along after the Invincibles, and people talk about that a lot, and I understand that.
They lost one game, didn't they, as well?
They lost one game.
Mourinho's first season.
Yeah, exactly. He was amazing. They scored a lot of goals. They lots made of their defensive record, but they scored a lot of goals as well. They were exciting to watch at that point. So I think the best credit and the best tribute you can pay to this Liverpool team, there's seven games to go, lest we forget, so we'll see how they finish. But the best credit you can pay is that they're part of the conversation, because you're never really going to definitively decide. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you're doing it for some kind of clickbait exercise or some kind of marketing exercise. But Liverpool are a part of that conversation. They richly deserve to be a part of that conversation. And it's very much deserved.
Yeah. Has Jordan Henderson had one of the most extraordinary sort of career trajectories we've seen in terms of...
Did you hear what Van Dijk called him last night on the old celebratory interview?
Remind me.
The Big Skipper.
The Big Skipper.
Here comes the Big Skipper. Sounded a bit like a fairground rider.
Well, I mean, you think about it, you know, he's obviously signed for Liverpool for you know, pretty big money, but it was kind of like, should we get rid of him? This kind of stuff. Mm. And, you know, I understand that now. European champion. I mean, you know, played in... You know, they've been to two Champions League finals recently, obviously won one of them, and now he's been a huge part of them winning the title. It's absolutely extraordinary. But I think that's it. When you look at when you look at Klopp's Liverpool, you think going out to Atletico Madrid in the Champions League was a little bit of a disappointment, and it was a surprise. Mm. But I want to just throw that to one side, because it seems a bit ridiculous to mention it now. This side, the way they've picked themselves up from disappointment. Take that Champions League final where they were beaten by Real Madrid in the final. You know, there were goalkeeping errors, or, you know, whatever you want to call them. I know there was chat that he was concussed, you know, but there were errors there. And they would have left that pitch thinking, all the way to the final and hard done by. Next season, they get back to the final and win it. Yeah. To pick themselves up is incredible. Last season, to lose the league by 1 point,
having won 97 points.
I know, like, as near to perfect as you can get, to pick themselves up again and to absolutely hammer everybody. Mm. So since he's almost like walk the league, but of course it was never a walking pace with this Jurgen Klopp side, so you can't really say that. Shows you the strength, the mentality, the professionalism, the group of players. Rio Ferdinand said last night on the TV about how he was always sort of worried, obviously coming from his point of view, being, I assume, a Manchester United fan. I don't think his West Ham allegiance is going to be too interested in titles and so on, but... Mm. You could say that about Man United as Belgium. But, he said that he was almost like concerned for the other teams around there because of this kind of band of brothers feel and the spirit that they have. And, of course, we know Klopp can do that with teams.
Mm. I really think that this title was won in the Champions League final last season. I think winning that just proved to
them,
proved to them what they already knew, which was that they were champions. And like that, they didn't miss a beat, did they? They took that energy and that kind of dominance and just carried it over in a way that City couldn't. There's always this kind of worry that, you know, can you keep up that sort of intensity? And City themselves had such a good season that, you know, it was weighing on them in a way that it wasn't with Liverpool, purely because they won the Champions League. They're like, all right, we fell short, but we won the big one, didn't we? Mm. You know, it was still an incredible, incredible high, and it gave you a sense that more was to come. And it is. And it may be the case that the weird truncated nature of this season does that for them again. You know, would you bet against them retaining the title? It's a tough thing, but like, I know it's early days to talk about that. But
it's an interesting point, that. And I'll come on to that in a second. But one thing I did want to make really clear for people when we're having this discussion about who is the best Premier League single season performer in terms of a team is the record, I think, for a winning margin is 19 points. Man City, when they got 100, I think Man United got 81.
That's right. Mourinho's Man United.
Yeah, and he said that was one of his greatest achievements, famously. Obviously, Liverpool are further ahead than that for now, and they may be 19 points better, they may do even better than that, so we'll wait and see, but they're definitely part of the conversation. On the Henderson point, I think in years to come, when we talk about this classic Liverpool side, of course we don't know what's going to happen in the future, it doesn't seem like a lot of the players are going to move, but you never know in football. When we're trying to recall this team, will we recall Jordan Henderson? I think we will. I think we'll be going Mane, Salah, Firmino, Henderson, Van Dijk, Alisson, Alexander Arnold, Robertson.
They do roll off the tongue. Yeah, I think that's the sign of a great side.
That's a testament to Henderson as well.
Absolutely.
Mm. And the other point is that it is interesting, Jim, you bring this point to the table about the domination now. When a team is this good, the inevitable questions straight away, and they were on the TV last night, start to be, what's going to happen next? Mm. It is worth remembering that there's only one team in Premier League history that have won it 3 years in a row, and that's Man United. Yeah. And I think only a couple of teams have ever defended a title. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as it may look. Yeah. And I think the reason for that is that the desire and the intensity, however small, there is a small drop-off.
Yeah.
And it can really affect it. And Ferguson's talked about it a lot in books. And I think with Liverpool being such an emotionally led club and an emotionally led team, which means this will mean an awful lot to them, of course it will, they're going to have to work doubly hard next year because other teams are going to come back at them.
They are, but it's been, you know, football is cyclical. We know that. And modern football is different from how it was in the 90s and, you know, at the turn of the century. We know that. But regardless of how much things change, we it does move in cycles. And we've not seen a big sort of dominant legacy for a while. Mm. And it would be interesting to see if we have another one starting now. Liverpool seem in very good financial shape.
Do you reckon they'll do a Bayern Munich?
Oh,
God, eight in a row, Jim.
I hope not. Can you imagine that? I think even they would go, yeah, you know what, we it's probably are unbearable. Yeah. But like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that happens again.
Well, you've got to compare them to the other sides. So if Manchester City's Champions League ban is upheld, we'd need to wait and see what happens there. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are light years away from a title. Tottenham Hotspur.
I'm actually a little bit offended you've mentioned Arsenal next there.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you did it before Spurs.
Alphabetical order.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. Yeah. Birmingham City, are they? Yeah. So Manchester City, with the Champions League banner, they'll still be a brilliant side, don't get me wrong, but that could have an impact. Signings and maybe people wanting to leave.
Man United have got green shoots.
I don't think Manchester United.
I think they've got green shoots, Marcus. I think they're
not going to challenge Liverpool next season, I wouldn't have thought.
Okay. No, but we're talking sort of, you know, the early part of this decade, aren't we?
Sure, but you could see this Liverpool side winning the season after, maybe the season after, if Klopp stays and they carry on. Chelsea under Lampard.
Plucky outsiders, Chelsea.
Exactly.
How has this happened? Has this happened?
Financial underdogs, Chelsea. You know, basically, if you don't want Liverpool to win the league again in the next few years, you're looking at Brendy Rodgers.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, he's involved. But Jurgen Klopp might have cried all the water out of his body by now, so he might not be in any fit state to do anything. Hey, were you pleased for him? Do you like to see
him? No, I wasn't Liverpool pleased for him.
Liverpool fans would cry their own tears back into his body to revive him.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice to see him in his little cap, which was quite enjoyable. Not as enjoyable as Kenny Dalglish and his mobile phone.
Oh, the pings.
Yeah, if anybody didn't see
big dad energy, that.
Yeah,
oh, Kenny Dalglish. Huge granddad energy. Refuses to learn how to use his laptop and phone.
Yeah. Wearing his Liverpool scarf when it was about 25 degrees last night.
I think it was warmer than that.
Yeah, maybe. But his phone kept pinging with text message, which was very, very enjoyable indeed.
I think what Kenny Dalglish has done for football in this country and what he's done for the city of Liverpool generally is incredible. Mm. And I was very, very pleased for him to, and how much it clearly meant to him. Yeah. You know, it's not about me ascribing some kind of value judgment about who's worthy and who isn't, but you just watch a man of that age, dignified man, you know, who's done an awful lot for the game and for a lot more besides, and seeing how much it means to him after such a long time was a powerful thing. And I think it was punctured by the continuation of a never-ending iMessage notification. But such is the world we live in at the moment. Yeah.
But it's extraordinary, though, Liverpool going 30 years. I know much has been made the fact that, you know, when they won the league...
That was unthinkable then.
Exactly, it was unthinkable. Yeah. And there are these one or two little strange ones. If you think about how long Real Madrid, I think, went from winning the European Cup from, was it in the 60s to 97, something like that? You know, it was a long time. You wouldn't have thought that of Real Madrid to go that long. Brazil... 1970, after the 1970 World Cup winning Brazilian side. I know, totally different trophy, totally different, all the rest of it. But, you know, they don't win it again until 1994. You know,
98 was Real Madrid, wasn't it? 97 was Dortmund, wasn't it?
Around that time. But, you know, and this is what happened with this Liverpool side. With Liverpool. You couldn't have envisaged it. And I think that's why that when people were going, I can't believe we've actually won it, and the neutrals are going, well, I mean, I saw it coming.
Is that more misery on Man United there? They've got another 25 years to go.
Yeah, a word for them today. This must be rubbish. Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
We did say when Ferguson moved on, you know, get used to being just another normal football fan now.
Yeah. Are they used to it yet?
Climb, I have to ask them. This is not their time. This is not their moment. This.
Just take a moment for the perch.
Yeah.
The bird is climbing back up the perch.
Oh, yes, it's going. Yeah. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing thing. I was really pleased for them. They've been by far the best team. Mm. I love, as a neutral, as I always am in these Premier League kind of discussions, I love the idea of a two teams duking it out. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it last season for that reason, and there's been some great ones in the past. But it became clear quite early on, with a lot of time to get used to it. And you have to remember as well that there's a lot of chat about this stupid chat, in my opinion, about, oh, well, is it a proper season? I could easily make an argument this has been even harder. Yeah. Because they've had so much time to think about it, so much difficulty and interruption, that they should be given even more credit.
Well,
stupid argument.
The fact is that when football stopped due to the pandemic, everyone knew Liverpool were going to be champions. Yeah. That's how good the season is. Or what, you know, that's how good of a
season
how they've been. But I do want to talk about the actual match, because it was probably the best match since the restart. I mean, the best performance you could say was Liverpool beating Palace.
Yeah.
Palace not even having a touch or whatever it was in their own box. You would know that.
I mean, that is an amazing bit of that is microcosm how good Liverpool were.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was in a weird way for a neutral who wants to admire a team. You're kind of pleased that that stat's there, because it shows you. I mean, in terms of the great. In terms of the, you know, the bigger picture of the game, it's quite damning that one team can do that to the other, as possession stats Jonathan Wilson talks about. But let's not that now.
I did
not
say we might see something quite surprising in the day. We did a show that day before that game, so we might see something quite interesting, because Crystal Palace are quite good on the counter and they've got a good record.
Roy the boy.
We did see something surprising.
Yeah.
Not quite as I intended.
one or two people saying, oh, it would have been nice if they could have won the league, you know, against Manchester City and so on. I just think that, as you saw with those fans, get it done.
Yeah.
Get it done.
It's not about who they went against.
Yeah.
It's about them.
Yeah, of course.
It's about winning it. It's not about anything else. Exactly. Yeah.
But I tell you something, though, you know, with Manchester City, they'll look at themselves, Mendy and Gundogan getting a mix up, and Pulisic going, thanks very much. He still had a lot of work to
do. Yeah, a lot to think about Pulisic there. I was really impressed with that.
It's a good goal.
He's a good player. I'm not saying I was the first time I've ever seen him play or whatever, but he did an amazing George Best turn of pace. You know, back in the day when the players didn't really do that many skills, they just used to go really slow, then really fast.
Yeah.
He did that brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And the finish was impeccable, right in the corner.
It was a lovely one.
Against an exceptional goalkeeper.
it's Manchester City, though. They picked themselves up, and Chelsea, actually, I thought they were quite impressive with their tactics. You know, they got the goal. They thought teams have been a bit sloppy coming back. That's understandable. They haven't sort of played much football and so on and so forth. But Chelsea kind of dug in. They knew Man City would dominate the ball, as they do. And straight into the second half, you know, De Bruyne whips in that free kick, which is absolutely
beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I think Kepa's got to save that.
I don't know. I think it's so far up in the corner. I don't think he's got any chance.
Look
of getting
it, honestly.
I know he doesn't dive very well.
Look at it again.
The dive annoys me when a goalkeeper, you think, go full stretch. Why do you kind of?
I'm fully happy for every goalkeeper of any merit listening to this show now to tell me I'm wrong. I'll take that on the chin. Tweet me, whatever. For me, I want to see the goal. It's miles out, one.
It's got a lovely bit of dip on it.
It does, but
it's
number
a chicken
two,
dipper.
It is absolutely a chicken dipper. If you're a goalkeeper, right, stand in the middle of the goal, right, and save it. Just save it. Mm. It's not that far in the corner. He gets quite close to it, Jim, without putting his arms up.
Right, though, but
if you're an
outfield player and you're taking a free kick, just kick it and make it go in the goal.
Yeah. But if I want to make that point, I will. No, honestly, joking aside, I'm not trying to do Gary Neville where he kind of tied himself up in a knot once and said that every shot should be saved. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
What I do mean is, if you watch it back again, I was actually surprised the coverage on the TV didn't make more of that. Mm. I think I saw someone else, who was it? David Priest, who's a goalkeeper of some repute and a coach and a really good pundit on goalkeeping. He said, if it were him, take one player out the wall so you've got a better look at it and stand more in the centre of your goal. I find personally goalkeepers setting up like that on one side of the goal and putting a wall to the other side, it's old fashioned now. Mm. The way the balls are made now and the way they strike the balls, you can see it, Marcus, as much as I have. They can dip it over quite easily now.
Yeah. You're giving an opportunity.
I think so.
So what you're saying is, are you saying he should have saved it in terms of the whole preparation going into setting up the wall and so on, rather than when the ball's kicked?
At least I want him to make it a lot harder than that.
Okay.
And I think, I remember famous long-time listeners to this show will remember my my book that Neville Southall wrote called In Search of Perfection, which I had a copy of as a kid.
Your book?
No, Neville Southall's book. I had a copy of it. I used to talk about it quite a lot.
Yeah.
He used to say in that book, I remember, set your wall up there, you stand there. If he gets over the wall, fair play to him, he scores. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
That is the most old-fashioned thing to say now.
Yeah.
You need to be in the centre of the goal, I think.
Is that before he sued his daughter or
after? Probably before.
Come on.
Jim doesn't like you mentioning that.
No. You mentioned it normally.
Yeah. I think the dip has done him there. But I take your point. But I think, Marcus, you're absolutely right. This has been the best game since the lockdown. Perhaps
it was a fantastic...
actually Kepa's situation there was a sign of a little bit of ring rust from the players, but it was kind of up and down, wasn't it? When City did score that goal, it looked like they were probably going to turn the screw and then win. And that incredible situation with the goal line clearance from Kyle Walker after Pulisic looked like he was going to score again.
Walker's pace
so
is one
good.
Of the most incredible things in football.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, you know, he's...
How is he not, with that pace, how is, let not clear it off the line? Why has he not gone through the net and into the stand? How has he stopped?
It's the way he stops the ball on the line as well. It's just absolutely... Just a really, really incredible kind of physical achievement.
Well, that's the thing. With the Guardiola team, that is not a clearance off the line. That's actually a short pass.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
He's not. Normally, you'd knock that as far away as possible. Yeah. He's actually knocked it to, I forget who the other defender was who cleared it away.
But as well as that being a really incredible feat, but Pulisic, to get the contact on it he got at the angle he was, at the pace he got, that was really impressive as well. It took a ridiculous thing for that not to be too, you know, 2-1 at the
time.
I'd
be disappointed if I didn't put that away.
I'd be fuming.
If you'd rounded the goalkeeper, I think.
Fuming.
But I looked at this a few times, obviously, because they showed it again a few times on TV, so I had the option. but he, I don't know, he's moving at some pace there because, you know, my flatmate I was watching it was saying, oh, he should have just smacked it then. But I thought the angle made that very, very difficult.
But before
he's done
that,
I think he's done everything he can there.
Probably. But you missed out the Sterling hitting the post.
Yes, of course.
If he knocks that to Mahrez, you know, it's easy to say because, you know, when he hits it, you go, why didn't you pass it? Always get, oh no. I mean, if Man City go 2-1 up, then Liverpool might have had to go in the next game.
Do you guys have any love for the idea that Marcus Alonso looks like the evil Christian Pulisic?
I need to...
Look it up.
I need to go away and think about it.
Look it up. We'll talk about it next week. And...
Fernandinho.
Can I just say Fernandinho?
Yeah.
There was an amazing...
There's
an amazing passage of play in this. Where Fernandinho knows what he's done.
Yeah.
He knows that he's not getting away with it because of VAR, right? By the way, I don't know why the referee didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's another point. But his face while he's waiting... while he's waiting for the VAR to be given for a red card, he looks like, as you said, Marcus, to me earlier, he's like outside the head teacher's office. But the absolute piece de resistance was... the fake cheer on the screen.
On the
TV. Yay! There's no one there.
It reminded me of that meme of Batman slapping Robin. Just, no. Get off.
Sod off.
Yeah. Just so weird. There was a few incidents with the crowd noise, actually. I think it might have even been the incident we're talking about now with Pulisic almost scoring and it getting cleared off the line, where someone had clearly pressed like, and then just cancelled it halfway through.
It was when Mason Mount went through and hit the side netting.
Yes, that's right.
Good
memory.
Well, it was last
Billy
night.
No drinks.
It was last night. There we are. I think there were some other games last night, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Who cares, Jim?
Yeah. Arteta's first away win as Arsenal boss.
Is that right? It's good to get an away win.
I wasn't going to mention it for Alex McCarthy's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very grateful to him.
Southampton have a problem with goalkeepers.
Yeah.
I think.
I know.
At the moment.
They really do.
Jack Stevens has a problem with defending against Arsenal as well.
Yes, he does.
Ryan Bertrand also looks a lot like DT from Arsenal Fan TV.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's two lookalikes.
I just needed to get it off my chest.
Homework for our listeners. Alonso the evil Pulisic, Bertrand and DT.
Oh, by the way, can I just say, Emiliano Martinez cruelly denied an assist. Aubameyang, he should have taken the shot and scored. That pass when he kicked the ball out. He looks not a bad replacement.
He's an able deputy.
But yes, of course, before we go to a break, obviously, Aston Villa versus Wolves in the Premier League this weekend. And, Watford playing Southampton as well on Sunday. So there's important stuff at the bottom of the league. Dean Smith believes that four of the bottom five are in a mini league and are looking to drag other teams into it. I mean, it sounds terrifying. Dragging to you.
Yeah.
Come to my mini league.
Yeah, drag me to hell
or
the championship.
How dare you
drag me to EFL.
A big game for your boys this weekend as well, isn't it?
Very big game.
Hey, you'd be a bit nervous after how they performed last time.
With Mitrovic's hair, if he's cut his hair, then maybe that's the secret to unlocking.
He's the opposite to Samson.
But despite Southampton's loss, they're fine, aren't they? And Arsenal they're safe as well. I
caught myself actually, Jim, because I heard a roundup on the news on the radio earlier, and it said Arsenal's result against Southampton. It said that result for Arsenal moves them into the top half of the table. And yeah. I was thinking, there's only like eight games left.
Well, this is the thing. Like, it's, you know, like, even in the commentary, like you heard people talking about Arsenal's European hopes. It's like, no one's saying that about Palace or Burnley, and they're just a point behind us.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
...to the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. And that's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you that don't know what a tenga is... Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based ordinist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Staccano production.
Welcome back to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Now, many of you will know by now that we run loads of competitions for our Patreon subscribers every month. Alongside all the behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcast episodes, you can access from as little as $5 a month. This month's prize is a cracker. The sun's out, and we think you deserve the chance to burn some sausages outside. By signing up to our Patreon this weekend, you...
That's not a euphemism.
Yeah, don't burn your own sausage, if you see what I mean.
Or your penis. Yeah.
By signing up to our Patreon this weekend, you could win a Weber MasterTouch C5750 charcoal barbecue. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. British time this Monday, 29th of June. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already Patreon subscribers, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier also makes you more likely to win. If you sign up to our Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. If you sign up to our Ramble On tier, you'll be entered twice into the competition. If you sign up for our highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble, your name will be entered three times into the competition. So head to patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. British time this Monday, 29th of June, to enter. And we'll announce the winner on that Monday's episode of the Football Ramble.
Oh, exciting.
Exciting.
Who doesn't want a Barbie at this time of year? Oh, fantastic. Tell you what, whoever wins the Barbie should have to invite us all round to their place.
Mm. Remember Lee Sharp used to do
barbecues?
Yeah. I met Lee Sharp once and I didn't ask him about it, and it is the biggest regret of my life.
We're going to have to put that right.
I mean, I can think of loads of regrets you should have bigger than that.
Talk about them after.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Talk about them after, because we've got to talk about the FA Cup.
Yes.
Remember that? It's back.
Yeah.
The FA Cup's back. I this is one of those ones, we talk about Premier League project restart, and then you think the FA Cup, but it has happened. It has happened. Let's have a quick recap then, gentlemen. Do we have a favourite moment so far from the FA Cup?
I would go for the Midlands inception situation, which happened where Coventry, while temporarily operating at Birmingham's ground, hosted Birmingham. It was then 0-0 and Birmingham then won the replay on penalties as the home team in their own ground. It's all very, it's just like
Midlands inception. Tom Hardy in goal.
For both teams.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Did they played the first game and the replay at the same time, right? Because that's how it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a game within a game.
All right. Joseph Gordon-Levitt got the winner. that was weird.
Yeah. But just an odd quirk.
So that was
what I like that about
that. That was your highlight of the FA Cup 2019-20 thus far.
Even though Arsenal's still in it.
Yeah.
I would go for FA Cup fifth round back in March when Norwich played Spurs and Tim Krul was in the goal for the old penalty shootout where he had the names on the water bottle.
Oh, yes.
I rewatched that and on his water bottle, he definitely has. So I paused it on. Do you reckon everyone remembers this, or should I just give him a quick recap?
Yeah, do a recap.
Okay, Tim Krul is in goal for Norwich against Spurs in the FA Cup. It's the round before this one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Norwich win on penalties, and a lot is made of Tim Krul having the names of a lot of Spurs players on his water bottle and checking it before each penalty. Mm-hmm. Now, I rewatched that yesterday, and I paused it at the appropriate moments, and he's definitely got the names of Davinson Sanchez, Eric Dyer, Giovanni Lo Celso, Jenson Fernandez, Oliver Skipp, Troy Parrott, and Eric Lamela on there. Now, of course, Dyer, Lamela, Lo Celso, Jedson and Parrott all took penalties and only Dyer and Lo Celso scored. So it was good knowledge of the likely penalty taker. I don't really know how he was able to prepare that so well unless someone's written for it during the game.
Must have been.
He's not going to be expecting... No. I mean, is he going to be expecting Troy Parrott to take a penalty? I mean, maybe, because I had a bit of a striker issue at the time. Anyway, I wonder, having watched it back, whether it's Tim Krul's antics more than the water bottle itself that actually helped them. Because it reminded me a bit of when Lehmann did it against Argentina in 2006. Yeah. And he didn't actually have Cambiasso's name on there.
That's right, yeah.
But he looked at it anyway just to kind of trick him out of it, and it obviously worked. And if you look back at the penalty shootout, Krul went the wrong way with Lamela, who hit the bar. Mm-hmm. He went the right way with Dyer, but he scored anyway. And he went the wrong way over Lo Celso and he saved from Troy Parrott and Jedson. So I think it was more to do with the fact that he's got this reputation now, which he enjoys. And that becomes its own thing, doesn't it? He was brought on in the World Cup game, was
it's
he not?
Costa Rica,
to do it as well. So that was a really interesting moment. And also, crucially, it feels like it was about 5 years ago.
Mm. Yeah. My favourite moment for that penalty shot actually was when Todd Cantwell went up. Much of this was made on social media.
Top bracket.
Oh, yes. When he strolls up, he looks like something out of One Direction, doesn't he? He strolls up there. I think he does a couple of keep-ups, and the crowd, because it was at Spurs' ground, are giving him absolute dog's abuse. Mm. And you think, yeah, like, they will love it if you miss this. And he was casually strides up and just wafts it into the top corner. Yeah.
It was top bracket. You couldn't have placed it with your hand any better.
It was class.
Yeah, it was a great, great moment.
Absolute class.
He's a really good player, Tottenham, isn't he?
My sort of highlight of the FA Cup so far this season? The cum dog.
I forgot about this. You are going to have to explain that. Should we just move on?
Let's move on. For those who don't remember, Jason Cummings, Shrewsbury Town.
Mm.
When they drew with Liverpool at a time when Liverpool, you know, they were just sort of steamrolling everybody and so on. So for little Shrewsbury Town to come back against the mighty Liverpool to earn a replay, obviously they lost at Anfield, but Jason Cummings scoring those goals for Shrewsbury, going them absolutely mad, and then later we'd find out he's got some weird sort of wrestling alter ego called the Cum Dog.
Yeah, didn't he do like a Joker themed celebration at some point?
He's
a real character.
Yes,
I think he might be Scottish.
He is Scottish.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like a sort of, you know, really crass wrestler, as you say, like a really crass wrestler theme.
Uh huh. Well, Timmy Krulo and Norwich City are up against Manchester United on Saturday afternoon. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said this week that his team are not yet title contenders.
I think we can all agree on that now.
Does this come as any surprise to you, Luke?
I mean, did he go to bed early last night? So I want to wake him up and tell him.
It's mathematically impossible. Yeah. So the FA Cup is obviously an important trophy anyway, but Solskjaer knows the value and the importance of winning it.
They've been good recently, are you not?
They have been good recently. They do look like they have a little bit of momentum after Project Restart, of course. Norwich City, will the Cup be a welcome or an unwelcome distraction from the league from them?
It's a new topic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a new topic, which they sometimes like, sometimes don't like, sometimes forget all about. Mm-hmm. But I think, actually, at this point, if you're Norwich, you just want games to play yourself into form, and a test against Man United is probably... Mm-hmm. It should be welcome. If it's not welcome, there's a problem with the squad, because they've got to, like, they've got to kick on, and if they don't get through, they don't get through. Mm-hmm. But the Premier League they've got to stage some ridiculous escape. There is a sense with Norwich that they've just piled in, though, isn't there? Mm. The sense that they've all accepted that they're going down.
They've got a lovely little pick me up in the league next, haven't they? They're off to the Emirates.
Oh, right.
But, just a bit of banter, Jim.
I feel like we haven't been to the Emirates. I mean, it'll be four away games in Project Restart before Arsenal are at home again. It feels very strange.
Man United haven't lost a game for 5 months.
How about that?
Wow. Which is, I know it's a lot of detail behind that, yeah. I'm always told on Twitter, and I make a big deal out of this, probably maybe a more boring big deal than I should, that I'm always told on Twitter that Norwich are brilliant, but I never see them win. So yeah. I mean, I saw them edge one against Leicester just before the lockdown, and obviously we talked about them in the FA Cup winning on penalties. Great, they're not very good. They can't put a performance together for 90 minutes. They've got some good players. I think some of their other players have been a little bit overrated. Talk of like Timu Pukki, he'll move on when they get relegated. He's got a great future. He hasn't got a great future in the Premier League. In my opinion, he's not got the all-round game for it. He won't succeed in the Premier League. Some of their other younger players will do well. And when Norwich are inevitably relegated, they'll move on to other teams, which is sad for Norwich because they're a likeable side.
Well, they're a really good team.
Exactly, because they're brilliant.
The league table is telling porky pies again.
But I can see, without being too churlish, I can see why people say when they get it going, they look good. But they can't do it for long enough, and they can't do it consistently enough. Yeah. And they've had enough time to do it.
Look, I mean, they could beat Manchester United. Of course, they could as a game of football on the weekend. But if you're a Manchester United fan, you'd be pleased with that draw.
Yes.
Sheffield United, of course, play Arsenal. So we'll see how that one goes for those Gunners, now flying high after a victory. Leicester versus Chelsea, perhaps the most difficult one to call. But Brendan Rodgers' boys haven't really got themselves up to speed since the restart, and Chelsea will...
really poor.
Yeah, Chelsea will be buoyed, of course, by that win against Manchester City. But City themselves, away to the mighty Newcastle, and they are turning St James's Park into some sort of fortress, Jim.
A fanless fortress. Maybe that's what they needed all along. Just
a load more sportsdirect.com
frustration.
around the stadium.
Oh god, yeah.
As soon as I saw the first game back, whoever it was, I think it might have even been Sheffield United. Mm-hmm. First game back, and
I
saw
Villa.
Yeah, I saw the banners around. I thought, I know what's happening at Newcastle.
Mm. Yep.
That is going to be Sports Direct Central, even more than it is normally.
Well, it could be one last hurrah.
Could be. Big Andy Carroll, though.
Big Andy Carroll's been given a one-year extension. He's not scored in 16 appearances since re-signing last summer. He's provided some moments and assists. You know, I don't want to be too harsh, but Big Brucey said that Carroll's impact, particularly from the bench, is of great value. And he said, Big Andy is great off the pitch and in the dressing room too. And you think to yourself, what the hell's going on there? If Andy Carroll is the kind of older brother, the positive influence on the dressing room.
Got some wayward young player living with him. Sort of reverse situation of when he was made to live with Kevin Nolan all those years ago. It's a weird one, that situation. Because Newcastle seem to have adapted fairly well, like since the restart. Mm-hmm. But Man City, you know, they're going to they're really going to want to win something, aren't they? Especially, you know, given that the title's now gone, the reality of that being the case, they're going to be going all for it. And they just, like, they've not really missed a beat, have they? Obviously, I mean, they weren't particularly good against Chelsea, obviously, despite it being quite a fun game. But, like, I really think if they absolutely have to turn it on against Newcastle, then that's a City win.
Mm, you thought that, though, earlier in the season when they went to St James's and Big Jonge got a lovely goal to equalise in the last minute.
I've completely forgotten about that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. De Bruyne scored a great one as well, but cancelled out.
Should the keeper have saved it?
By Shelvey. No, not that one.
No.
Not that one. The draw for the semi-finals will happen at half-time during Newcastle versus Manchester.
Disrespectful. Disrespectful.
You can do that any time.
Should we say 45 minutes? Stupid. Bit of traffic. They'll be free down by then.
Is it because they're insisting on doing some sort of televised draw? Like
inevitably it'll be a do that.
it's so boring, isn't it?
Is Pete Donaldson drawing the balls?
Yeah.
We'll just do it at that time.
I think there's a good chance around that time Pete Donaldson will be tickling some ball. They might well be his own.
How about that? Well, if you fancy a tickle, Luke Moore.
Well, it's time for Betway's Four to Score, as it is every Friday. Four to Score entry is free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. It's an FA Cup special this week. If you're correct in your selections, you can win up to £100,000 this week. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, obviously, otherwise that would be insane. And further T's and C's apply. Four FA Cup quarterfinals, four Betway Four to Score games. Jim, Norwich v Man United, Saturday tea time.
I have gone for Rashi.
Lovely.
That's Marcus Rashford, because he's been very good lately. Obviously, he put two on a plate for Anthony Martial, because that's sort of his thing lately, isn't it? Huh?
He also missed an open goal.
Yeah. And he will want to put that right. And I think he's due a goal.
Feeding everyone. Time for him to feed himself. Game two, we gave to Kate this week. Sheffield United v Arsenal on Sunday afternoon. Here's what she had to say.
Well, guys, I'm going to limit my attempts to sledge Arsenal in this one, because I did just send producer Charlie my first goal scorer for completely the wrong game, the Spurs fixture in midweek. In the FA Cup, though, I'm going to keep things simple, because it was good to see a couple of the youngsters score for Arsenal against Southampton. And I don't know if Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang will start in the FA Cup, but either way, I think it could be 0-0 well into the second half. And if he comes on, say, as an emergency substitute, I think he'll get the first goal. So Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
So a kind of disappointing lack of digs at Arsenal, which is the reason for getting Kate to do this game. But she chose Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Mm-hmm. Probably trying to jinx it, I would imagine.
Probably is, absolutely. Game three is me, Leicester v Chelsea, Sunday afternoon as well. I'm going to go for Jamie Vardy. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about picking a Chelsea player, because Leicester have been quite poor since we've come back, but I wasn't confident about who was going to play, really, after the fact that, you know, they've played the other night. So, or last night as we record this. So I've gone Jamie Vardy, who you'd think would definitely play. And the final game for you, Marcus, is Newcastle v Man City, Sunday 6:30.
Pete Donaldson, I've got you, baby. It's ASM.
Love it.
Saint-Maximin.
So what's she thinking there? Well,
I think Man City will probably win, but I think Man City, after what happened, they'll just be like, right, come on, we've got it. And they'll try too hard, leave the back door open. And Newcastle, oh my goodness, can they counter? And I tell you what, Steve Bruce has changed the system. And since he's changed the system, who can guess what's going on there?
If there's one team that can take advantage of a back door being left open, it's Newcastle United. So those are our selections for Betway's Four to Score this week. Marcus Rashford, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Jamie Vardy, Alan Saint-Maximin, a.k.a. ASM. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. 18+ and gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. That is Betway's Four to Score for this week.
Indeed. Before we go, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Luke's game.
It is time for Luke's game. It is. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And do you know what I realised? When I first started doing Luke's game with you guys, I didn't realise that we would be enthusiastic about it and want to do it more. And so I didn't actually make a note of all the players we've done in the past. I have started doing that from like last week. If there's a bit of repetition, then I'm confident as in my role as quiz master that you guys aren't going to remember. But if listeners get the arsehole about it, I get it. I'm across it. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. So with that in mind, let's play Luke's game in a bit of Pete Donaldson-esque admin to start with.
Lovely.
I think, who played last week? You, Marcus.
And Andy Brassel.
Andy went first, didn't he?
Yeah,
because he was
picked
new.
Picked me 3-2 last week.
Yeah, so you will go first this time, Marcus. The first player, Jim, you'll remember how to play it from that year. The first player is, he's played for six clubs. It's James Milner.
Milne?
Yeah.
Oh.
Millie.
Millie. That is an interesting one. What can I do here? What can I do? James. Six clubs?
Yeah.
There's got to be. Okay. I can do. I'll do five.
Okay, so you're bidding five. People listening should play along at home as well. How many can you name? How many can you bid with your friends? Jim, can you do six? Otherwise, it's going to be a case of naming them for Marcus.
I can definitely do five.
So you may be at a loan spell somewhere.
No, I'm going to see if Marcus can do the five.
Okay, so Marcus, you need to name five, please. One at a time.
You know what? Can I go back on that?
Yeah, if you want.
Right. All right. I'm going to go for six.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a reward aggressive play from Jim because he's normally very defensive on this
You've
game.
You've been very generous there. He said what he wanted to do, but he pulled it back. But that's fine. I don't mind.
I can tell you don't mind. That's why you brought it up.
I think you'll probably get a point out of it. Yeah, I think
you
too much.
Yeah, I think you know as well as I do. He's got absolutely no chance of getting six.
Yeah.
Come on, there we go.
So, Leeds United?
Correct.
Newcastle United?
Correct.
Aston Villa?
Correct.
Manchester City?
Yeah.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's because we mentioned them earlier. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I'm getting confused by Man City's kit, but is Coventry one of them?
Oh, is Coventry one of them?
I don't think so.
He spent some time on loan in 2003 mm-hmm. at Swindon Town.
Swindon. They've got us a few times, haven't they, Swindon?
Little slugs. It's
1-0
to Marcus. And Jim, it's your turn to go first.
Fair play to you there, Jim.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You've got to applaud that kind of play.
You do.
Jim, you are up first this time. The next player off the rank, he's played for five clubs in total. It's your friend and mine, actually, Petr Cech.
Whoa.
Five in total.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you get five here, I'll give you the money myself.
You can definitely do three.
Yeah. It's one more than me.
I could find people in the uncontacted Native American tribes that can do three.
Yeah. Well, I'll go three.
Can I hear four from you, Marcus?
Well, I'm going to have to, aren't I?
Four? You want five?
Nope. Yeah.
No, that was a little, I'm telling you, you don't want five. Yeah. Four.
The thing is, actually, because obviously, Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm actually struggling with a third.
You need four.
Sparta Prague?
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm missing an obvious one that Jim's thinking, you fool. You big, fat fool face. Czech Republic.
No,
I always try that. I always try that. Jim. It's very naughty of me. Very naughty of me. Who was the German club he played for? Just seeing if Jim's got a tick. Yes, it was.
Hurry now,
Slavia Prague.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Mm. Incorrect. So that's a point to Jim.
Do you want to know who it was?
Yeah.
It was Ren.
In France.
Ah, I didn't know
Ren in France, yeah.
I wasn't sure about Slavia Prague. I would have said...
Well, it was Sparta Prague.
Yeah. All right, okay. Well, I was even less sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the team he started his career at, I think, I believe is pronounced Chmel Bissani.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have got that. So it's one all. It's one all.
One each.
And
two own goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, you're up next.
Here we go.
Now, this one seems fairly easy, but I think you might find it trickier than you think. Mm. He's played for five clubs in total. He's still playing now.
Mm.
He is Harry Maguire.
Oh, yeah, that is quite tricky.
Yeah. That's why I chose it.
Yeah.
Five clubs in total. What have you got in your locker?
Oh, obviously, there's two. I'll go two.
Jim?
I can easily do three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gamesmanship as well, Marcus.
Yeah.
Growing in confidence he is.
Indeed, yeah.
It's great to see. Do you want four?
This is so poor because I know there's an odd bit. Jim's. I'll go four then.
Jim, can you do all five?
I couldn't do five, I don't think.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Jim has painted you into a corner. This is great play from Jim.
It really
is. Textbook Luke's game play.
Yeah, fair play to Jim.
So you need to name four clubs that Harry Maguire's played for,
mm-hmm.
please.
So Manchester United and Leicester City.
Yep.
And the one on loan, which is annoying. I think they played them in the FA Cup. Or did they? Tranmere Rovers?
That's incorrect. That's a point to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You could have started. He started his career at Sheffield United.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yes. And he went to Hull City.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me, that's piss poor.
Bit of time on loan at Wigan Athletic.
Yeah, very poor.
And then Leicester and Manchester United, as you've already said. So that is 2-1 to Jim,
that's
with
really poor.
Two to play. And Jim, you're up first here.
Okay.
He's played for 8 teams.
Oh, God.
And he's still playing now, sort of. It's Alexis Sanchez.
Okay. Blimey.
How many of the 8 clubs that Alexis Sanchez played for can you name?
I'll definitely do 4.
Okay, nice opening bid that. I think we can all agree. Mm. Marcus, can you go any higher than 4?
I'll go 5.
Jim, do I hear 6 from you?
I can't do 6. No, I'll have to punt this one back over to Spelzy.
Okay, 5 clubs, Marcus, is on you again, that Alexis Sanchez played for to send this to a decider. Wow, I need 5 clubs from you.
Okay.
And people listening at home should play along, see how many they can name as well.
Arsenal.
Correct.
Manchester United.
Correct.
Inter.
Correct.
Udinese.
Correct.
Barcelona.
Correct. Very well done. Excellent.
I forgot where he was now.
Well, when you said 4, I thought, has he missed out Manchester United?
Arsenal. Yeah. So I don't count that those years. So who is the other one?
So he started off at Cobreloa, then he went to Udinese, then Colo Colo on loan, River Plate on loan, and then the other 4 you've heard, Barcelona, Arsenal, Man United, and Inter, where he currently sits. Okay. The final
player. Here we go.
Player.
Here we go.
It's 2 apiece.
Woo!
Marcus to go first. He's played for 7 clubs, retired in 2017. It's Jolyon Lescott.
Oh, bloody hell.
7.
Yeah.
7. All your listeners out there will be able to name quite a few of these. But what I did say to listeners on our Discord, our Patreon members, obviously if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get to go on the Discord and chat to fellow Ramble listeners. And they were all saying they'd be brilliant at this game. And what I did say to them was, I leapt to your defence and I leapt to Andy's defence and said, when those lights are on... In the spotlight, the pressure's on, it's a lot tougher.
It is, yeah.
How many Jolyon Lescott teams can you name, Marcus?
Well, I can definitely name 4. All right, I'll say 4.
Jim? This is about tactics now.
I can do 4 as well, so I'm going to go 5.
Oh, Jim has completely changed his style.
He has, yeah.
He used to be a lot more defensive.
Well, I'd be effectively giving you a penalty and hoping you'd miss it there.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a penalty.
Very good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's have Jim have 5.
Yeah, but you're taking a penalty with your left foot here.
Yeah, exactly,
right? Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. So Jolyon Lescott, he's played for 7 in total, retired in 2017. How many of his 7 clubs can you name, Jim? You've bid 5. I need to hear 5 from you.
So I'm going to go Wolves.
Correct.
Manchester City.
Correct.
Everton.
Correct.
Aston Villa.
Correct.
And this is where it gets tricky. Marcus is giving nothing away in his silence. Coventry?
He's gone for Coventry again for the second time.
I think the Midlandsy thing.
I think he has played for Coventry, actually. I think you've got that.
And a high stakes play.
Yeah.
Second mention of Coventry. 3rd in total on the show.
Yeah, I think he's got it.
To win it, it's incorrect.
Oh, he could have had West Brom.
He could have. Wolves.
Oh, West Brom, of course.
Wolves, Everton, Man City, West Brom, Aston Villa. A lovely little cameo at AEK Athens.
Oh.
And then ended his career, as all great careers end, with 2 appearances for Sunderland.
Yeah.
So he could have had them.
Do you know what? I used Jim tactics against him because I could only name 3. So I said, I'll say 4.
Oh, you muggy little
there you go.
Got me over the line.
Marcus, you win. Congratulations.
You've cheated. I lost the cup last week, but I won the plate this week.
Congratulations, Marcus. I tell you what, Jim, you've got to give Marcus a bit of credit because he's gone up against a world class operator last Friday, Andy Brassel. I mean, that would be intimidating for anyone.
Found myself 2-1 down there.
Yeah. And you still lost.
It's the little games you've got to win.
Exactly, yeah. you're going to stay in this division by winning against your competitors, not against the big dicks.
I tell you.
It's easy for me to say because I never have to play it.
Very easy. Oh, dearie me. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson and Rory Smith to talk about Argentina and Romania in the 1994 World Cup knockouts.
I look forward to that. I like Rory as well. Great. That'd be good.
Hadji.
Yeah.
Maradona not involved.
You don't need to tell me, mate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy to relive it.
Damn right. That's, of course, on the Greatest Games tomorrow on the Football Ramble. But until Monday for your regular ramble, we'll say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jim Gamble.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me, everybody. Have a lovely weekend.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.